The following program is being paid for by
The Machine.
The following program is being paid for by Creflo Dollar Ministries.
I'm a world changer.
Let's join Dr. Creflo Dollar for today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are talking about the life of faith, and we're in the middle of the series because we are having to deal with something called the arena of faith. And this is something that is so very important for us to get a hold of. So I want to begin this morning by milking this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 so that we can get a clear understanding of what we're facing and what we're going to have to do in order to have victory over it. This is something that every person, saved or unsaved, will have to contend with and have to deal with. And if you understand what you're doing, understand what the Word says, you can have victory in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And let's read those scriptures out loud together, those verses out loud together. Ready, read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want you to understand here, of course, in verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, for though we are in this physical body, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshy. They are not physical. They are not bodily in nature. Now, notice some of these words here, weapons. Notice weapons. You have weapons when you're in hostilities. And then in verse 3, it gives us a clue as well. But we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Verse 3 talks about war. We're not participating in a war with our physical body. The verse 4 now speaks about weapons. So far we have weapons, we have war. So you have no choice but to perceive that we're involved in a conflict here. You have no choice. You look at those words, war, warfare, weapons. We're in conflict here. There is some type of contest going on. There's a warfare going on. Now let's read verse 4 one more time. Ready, read. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, our bodies or our flesh are not the weapons we use in this particular warfare that we're in. So we're not going to be using our physical bodies in this warfare. And yet it is talking about a warfare here. And then in verses 4 and 5, he talks about casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are reasonings of the human mind, mental processes or activities, images that are in your mind. Casting down imaginations. Now, we know casting means to throw where you are to a part away from you, like a man who's fishing casts out his line into the water. We also know it too gives us the direction to cast down. We know that we're to throw it down. It's saying throwing down reasoning. So there's reasoning that's going to come in your mind. There are thoughts that are going to come in your mind that don't line up with the Word. Reasonings that don't line up with the Word. And he says we've got to learn how to cast those things down. Now these verses show us a very definite situation, and that is we as Christians are engaged in a titanic struggle with the forces of evil, with Satan and all of his cohorts. They are seeking to destroy us, ladies and gentlemen. They are seeking to make our witness ineffectual. They are seeking to render us powerless and helpless concerning the things of God. There is a battle that is going on. And these passages show us that this warfare is concerned and has to do with mental activity. That this contest and this warfare has to do with mental activity. In other words, the area Satan will attack us is in our minds. He will move from the mind to the body. But he's first got to attack us mentally. He wants to get involved in this physical world. He wants you to end up doing things, but he cannot do that without attacking your mind, because your mind controls your body. So we're talking about the mind, the arena of faith. It all begins in this mental aspect of your being, the mind. And then it dissolves down to the flesh, into the environment, into circumstances, but it all starts in the mind. So if Satan can gain control of your thought life, if he can gain control of your thinking, he will then control your faith. And then when he controls your faith, he controls your life. And we all know that you nourish things in your mind. That's the place where you nourish things. Now, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, of course we walk in the flesh, but it means that I cannot use my body to fight with. I cannot use my body as a weapon. This is involving mental activity. It's involving thoughts. My mind is the area, or it is the arena, where the battle of faith is going to take place, because Satan is going to challenge me in my mind. It is my mind that governs my physical body. And listen, if you cut the mind off, then there's no thinking process. And guess what? The body will be immobile. The body just does what it's told to do. And there are a lot of things that we're doing with our body. It's kind of like Satan is sitting in the cockpit of our mind, just like a pilot sits in the cockpit of an airplane, and he controls the body of that entire airplane. Well, Satan knows that if he can gain access to your mind and sit in your mind, he can control your body. And then eventually he will control your life in this physical world. Now you got to understand something. If Satan can get me to think adultery, then he can persuade me to act out on adultery. The physical body is the servant of your mind. And within a man who is a Christian, we all know as Christian people, the motivation of our life should come from our spirit, should come from a spirit that's well nourished in the Word of God. But too many Christians are controlled solely by their minds. And as a result, their bodies end up doing the things they don't want done. Now, how am I going to know if this thing is exalted when the scripture, let's go back to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Before I take off, I want to look at this in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how will I know if something's exalting itself against the knowledge of God if I don't know the Word of God? If I don't read my Bible, how am I going to know if Satan's exalting something above the knowledge of God? And then here's this last point I want to bring up here in verse 5. He talks about casting down imaginations in every high thing. Now that's interesting. You see, there are many things that appear to be very lofty and very idealistic, and they seem very high, and yet they're not inspired by God. They're traps. And if you're not careful, you will get sucked into that and think that you're doing something because it may have a high estimation in the eyes of the world. but it may be an abomination in the sight of God, a high thing. The world thinks of it as being high, but in actuality, it's not high at all. Now, I need you to listen to this. Your mindset is going to determine your life set. And where you end up in life is going to be based on your mindset. And last week, I asked the question, who is setting your mind, or what is setting your mind? What are you exposed to? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? Who is sitting in the cockpit of your mind, taking you into places that you don't even know how you got there, but your mind has been exposed to the enemy? And whether you are saved or unsaved, Satan is after your mind. He's coming after you by coming after your mind, by getting you to hear some things that don't line up with the Word of God, and to convince you that it's all right, and then to keep you blind to the Word of God, keep you where you don't read the Bible, where you don't come to church, where you don't listen to CDs, keep you blind so that the light won't come in. But when you're not exposed to the light of God's Word, then you're subject to any suggestion that'll come from the devil. And I'm going to tell you something about the enemy. He's not going to say something to you that's just an outright lie. He's going to tell you something that has a bit of truth to it. And you cannot allow yourself to be self-deceived because you don't see it. There's a lot of things you don't see. That's why you have to practice judging yourself every day so you can get used to looking at yourself. And you can get used to being honest with yourself so you won't have to have somebody to come and judge you because you already know. I already know. I already know I'm selfish. I know. I already know. You should already know. Nobody should have to tell you you're selfish. You should already know that. But the enemy wants to ride your life by traveling in your mind, just like a pilot. A pilot controls that airplane. Most accidents can be blamed on pilot error. Pilot controls that airplane. The airplane doesn't crash by itself. The pilot controls that airplane. And a pilot that's well trained knows how to get that plane to do whatever he wants to do. Well, so likewise, God wants to pilot your life. Satan wants to pilot your life. You are a free moral agent, which means you're going to have to choose who is going to be sitting in the cockpit of your mind. Now, let me mention one other thing, and I think I'll be clear to take off this morning. We do understand that there is the aspect of the flesh being your physical body, the flesh of human beings, and then there's the flesh of animals. We do understand that the spirit, there's a spiritual body, and we understand that there's the Holy Spirit. But then there's another aspect of this that I want you to look at, and we'll look at it in Romans chapter 8 in a moment, but before we do it, I want to explain it to you. The body doesn't make a decision to do what it wants to do. Now, if you create addictive behavior, then out of habit, it may create an urge, but it does what it's told to do by the mind. Are you following me? So ultimately, the root of the flesh, or the root of fleshy activity, of course, is your mind. The mindset determines whether you are spiritual or fleshy. Your mindset determines if you are carnal or if you're walking in the spirit. You see that pretty clear, right? If the mind controls your body, then to be fleshy means that your mind ultimately has the say-so of what happens on the outside and with your physical body. But now, what type of mindset determines whether or not you're walking in the flesh? And what type of mindset determines whether or not you're walking in the spirit? Very simply put, the flesh is a mindset that opposes the Word of God. The flesh is a mindset that does not agree with God's word. Word of God says to abstain from fornication. There may be some mindset you picked up from relatives, uncles, locker room, that says there's nothing wrong with it. All right, now, to choose the go-to-words way, to set your mind according to the word, would be a man whose mindset is in line with the Word, which means his life is going to be walking in the Spirit. But a man whose mind has been set in opposition to the Word, that means his life is going to be walking in the flesh. How can you determine that?